Father, we are here this morning to worship You. We have been created to worship You, to know You. Lord, there is no greater purpose. There is no greater thing that we can do, that we can know in this life than to know You and to worship You. Father, we declare to You this morning, not only with the words of our mouths, but in our hearts, in our minds, Lord, that You are worthy. You are worthy of our obedience and our praise. Lord, we show our worship truly by laying down our lives before You, coming before You and saying, Lord, all that I have is Yours. All that I am belongs to You. All that I have is because of You. There is nothing good within me, Lord, that deserves Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace. It is Your love for us, Lord, that we give thanks for. It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that has blessed us. We've been blessed in every way, with every spiritual blessing in Him. Through His grace, Lord, we have forgiveness of sin, the hope of eternal life. Because of Him, we can live for Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, may Your Spirit descend upon us this morning. Fill our hearts and our minds as we humbly acknowledge, confess our sins, our shortcomings. Thank You for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood that covers our sins. And Lord, we know that He is coming again. He's coming soon. May we be ready when He comes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we are continuing on in our series here in the book of James here. Only a couple of more messages left from this, but I did need to respond to a comment that was made a little bit earlier here this morning. Something about what Chicago baseball team I might be seeing this week. It's not the one you think. It's the other one. And the reason I'm doing that is because the Lord has told us to go not only to Jerusalem and Judea, but to the ends of the earth, right? So, anyway. So I'm doing that. Today, one of everybody's favorite subjects. Everyone likes to talk about patience, don't we? We all want patience. We all pray for patience, don't we? Or maybe not. We don't. Patience means that sometimes the things aren't going so well. Facing some difficult situations, some difficult people in our life. And yet we're called to be patient. Today we'll be looking at James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. You'll find that in the Pew Bible on page 1199. And what is the thought, the key message that we should take away from the message here today? Well, it's simply this, that the maturing Christian, the one who is growing in his faith, her faith, will patiently endure difficulty by living in the light of Christ's soon return. The fact that Jesus Christ is coming again makes a huge difference in our lives. It ought to make a difference. And when we think about what that means, the fact that Jesus is coming and that He is coming soon, it can strengthen our hearts and give us patience in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of trying times. I want to show you a clip of something in just a moment that is a wonderful truth, that I would like this truth to kind of set the tone for the rest of the message here today. Because at heart of the message is the fact of Jesus Christ coming again. And when He comes, what's going to happen with us? That we will be changed. What a glorious truth that is. So would you take a moment and just reflect on the truth of what we're going to see. It's a scripture passage from 1 Corinthians 15 that tells us then what is going to happen then when Jesus Christ returns. in a flash, in an instant, in the blink of an eye, like that, Jesus Christ will return. And we will all be changed. The dead in Christ will be raised, glorified, incorruptible, Jesus Christ. Those who are alive will be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. And we will all be changed in an instant and be with the Lord forever. Looking in James, we've dealt with a number of issues here, with trials, with temptation, godly wisdom, good works as the evidence of genuine faith, the power of our speech for good or for evil, quarreling and boasting, a proper attitude toward money, all of these things and more. He's covered a wide variety of subjects here. But now he begins to draw his letter to a close here. And he touches on the need for patience. For patience in the midst of difficulty. The fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. The fact that he is returning soon. And all that that means for the believer. Everything that that means for you and for me will strengthen our hearts. It should strengthen the heart of the maturing Christian who is facing hard times, hard people, difficult circumstances. If you have your Bibles, would you look with me then now at the book of James chapter 5, starting in verse 7. James writes there and he says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." By the way, as I read this, would you note how many times he refers to the Lord's coming? It says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned." So James is wanting us to share in things. We saw last week he wanted us to share in our possessions, that wealth and all that we have is not to be hoarded and used only for ourselves to spend on our foolish, selfish, indulgent pleasures, but rather it is to be shared with others, with those in need. And today then he wants us to share in patience. He gives us first the essence of patience here. He's telling you, and he's telling me, to be patient. Patient in light of Christ's imminent return. His soon return, that it could happen any time. Several times here, in these few verses, James refers to the Lord's coming. That he is coming soon. He says, until the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming is near, and the judge is standing at the door. Scripture teaches, I know there's some debate about how to understand all those events of the end times and how that all works out, but there are some things that are very, very clear in Scripture that it says that Jesus Christ is coming again, and when he comes, that it will be sudden. It's going to take people by surprise. Sometimes when we least expect it, did anybody expect me to just do that? It's going to happen like that. It's going to happen very suddenly. It's going to take people by surprise. It will be sudden. It will be personal. It won't be just some metaphorical, metaphysical, spiritual thing happening. It will be more real and apparent than me standing here before you right now, that people are going to see him. It will be sudden. It will be personal. Jesus Christ in the flesh, visible, sudden, personal, visible, bodily return of Jesus Christ, that people will see just the way that you see me now, everyone will see. Suddenly the truth will be very clear. So the word in Scripture that refers to the coming of Jesus Christ, that original language of the New Testament Greek there, the word is parousia. And what does it mean? It literally means to come alongside. The coming of Jesus, the second coming, is when He literally comes alongside with us. But there's more to it than just an appearance. You can put in an appearance somewhere and then go away again, can't you? But that word, the text there, is telling us that not only is Jesus going to come alongside us and be present with us, it's something that it continues on. That Jesus will appear, that we will see Him, and then He will be with us. He's not going away again. He will be with us forever, and we will be with the Lord forever. The second coming, He'll come alongside us and remain with you. Remain with you. Now, we don't know when He will return. There's been a cottage industry of people, trying to predict when Jesus Christ is coming again. And about the only thing that people do is make fools of themselves, trying to do that. I remember a book, this goes back a little ways, not too far away, but I remember it was called, maybe some of you might have seen this, is 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 1988. You remember that one? So, well, there have been a number of folks that have tried to do that. I'm not in the business yet, and it amazes me that people try to do that, and they'll even put books out there in that, when He specifically and very clearly says, what, that no one knows this time. And Jesus, when He was on earth, said, not even I know, only the Father knows this. And yet people try to predict and say when it's going to be. The truth is we do not know when He will return. But the fact is that He will come. He will. Perhaps today. The trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will be raised. Those believers living at His coming will be caught up to meet Him in the air. And maybe today. Our bodies will be changed in an instant. We'll be glorified. The believer that is sitting here with you here today, your faith is in Jesus Christ. You will be changed in an instant. And take a look around here, because every believer in Jesus Christ who is going to be changed. You are looking at people destined for change. Whether they are raised, the dead raised in Christ, or whether they are caught up to meet the Lord in the air when He comes, every one of us will be changed in an instant. No more sin, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death. God will reign visibly and directly. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. You know, I was thinking on this truth. It was something that very, very strange that happened to me. And this is one of those things when it happened, I thought, boy, this one's going to stick with me the rest of my life. You ever had one of those experiences where something happens and you just know, boy, I'm going to remember this one. You remember the date and everything. It was one of those kind of events. And that is, it was the day after my mother's funeral. This was a little about 2.5 years ago. It was a Tuesday morning. We'd had the funeral. It was on Monday. The next day, it was Tuesday. It was November 1st, 2005. It was the next day. I had a couple of more days there, and then I was going to drive back up here. So I went to the cemetery that morning. It's Tuesday morning. I'm standing in the cemetery. It was a beautiful morning, much like this. And I was looking at this fresh grave with the dirt covered over. And I was thinking of what the Scriptures say about the dead in Christ. How in a second that trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will be raised. I'm reflecting on that and praising God for that, that my mom is going to be raised in glory in an instant. And as I'm standing there, and the Jesus that will come in the east, and people will see Him, and I was facing east. Her grave faces east. I'm looking there, thinking about that. And all of a sudden, and I started looking for like bodies to start rising up out of the ground there. And then I realized what it was. You know what it was? It's the first Tuesday of the month It was 10 a.m. What do a lot of communities do at 10 o'clock on the first Tuesday? They might test the civil defense sirens, right? And I thought, I was actually a little disappointed, to tell you the truth. I really was. I was hoping this was it. But I didn't see the bodies coming up. And it's like, first Tuesday of the month, civil defense siren. But you know what? That's what it's going to be like. And we least expect it's going to be an ordinary day. There isn't going to be any reason to think that this is the day. And all of a sudden, and everything will be changed in an instant. You will be changed and I'll be changed. What's going to happen when the Lord returns? Well, for one, He's going to judge the abusers, like those people that James describes in the first six verses of chapter 5 that we looked at last week. Everyone is going to face the judgment of the Lord, believers and unbelievers alike. So I've said before many times, you know what? No one is getting away with anything, folks. There is no such thing as ultimate injustice in this universe. There is injustice in this life from a human perspective. But there is no such thing as ultimate injustice in the universe because God is going to judge. And that's one of the things that's going to happen. When He comes, judgment is going to be meted out. There will be a final accounting. And you know, for unbelievers, this is a fearsome prospect, isn't it? For believers, though, this truth should sober us and motivate us to righteous behavior and an eternal perspective on things. Scripture tells us that as believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there will be an accounting for what we've done in this life with this faith, with this grace we've been given. There will be reward for believers. There may be loss of reward. But you know, as I thought about this, I was just talking about this with someone the other day. I hadn't really thought about this before, and then I started thinking about it more, and it's like, now, this is one of those times, folks, that I'm just going to tell you something. It's a thought on something. And if it's not true, just let it go away, okay? Because I don't claim this as clear scriptural truth, all right? But as I've thought about the judgment seat of Christ and what that means for us as believers, I've always been a little bit sad about that. Have you been depressed that we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ? But then I thought, one day, it's like, you know what? Could it be that the judgment seat of Christ is really an expression of God's love for us? Why? Because I believe and I know that many of us here have experienced it, okay? That sometimes in life there are just certain things, there are certain pains, there are certain hurts, and there are certain wounds that just don't want to be healed in this life, that just can't be healed in this life. And sometimes sadly it's even with other believers. That there's a tension, there's a problem, and you know that this woundedness in the relationship with another believer, that you're just never going to see eye to eye on that. That woundedness is always going to be there in this life. Yes, we can forgive, but the scar is still there. And I believe that one of the reasons why we're all going to face the judgment seat of Christ is not to publicly embarrass us all. It's not that. It's to give an accounting, and it's to bring cleansing for our souls and others, and to bring healing to those wounds that won't be healed in this life. And so the judgment seat of Christ is an expression of God's love for you and me. So in light of all of this, the Lord soon return, and what all of that means, final justice. in light of this, be patient. Be patient in sorrow and difficulty. You know, I find it interesting here that the word that James uses, which is translated in our English Bibles as patient, I find it interesting what word he chose to use here. Because there are a couple of Greek words that are translated as patient. One is hupomeno. It means to stand up underneath difficult circumstances, to persevere through hard times. One sense of patience then is you got all kinds of trouble going on in your life, difficulties, trying times. And this word means to persevere through it, to stand up underneath it, to just make it through that difficulty. But there's another word, and it literally means to suffer for a long time. And it's used with respect to difficult and challenging people. So there's patience with persevering through difficult circumstances of life. And then there's patience that means to suffer long, to put up with difficult people, if you will. That's another word, which is translated patience. Now, which of those words would you guess that James is using here? The one that refers to hard circumstances, or the one dealing with putting up with difficult people? Which one do you think it is? People. That's right. Isn't that interesting? Dealing with difficult people. So what is James saying here? In light of the Lord's soon return and all that that means, the final judgment and accounting, the fact that we're all going to be changed, the judgment seat of Christ, the certainty of Christ's visible return and rule and reign, the new heaven, the new earth, in light of all of that, put up with difficult people. That's what he's saying. Put up with difficult people. Because the Lord is coming soon. Because he is coming soon, you and I can put up with the abusers and the oppressors. Because he is coming soon, we can put up with those who ruthlessly hurt us or take advantage of us. And even unbelievers too. No one got that. Well, maybe one person. Yeah. Because the Lord is coming soon, we can put up with difficult people in the world, unbelievers and believers too. We can put up with abusers and oppressors. We can put up with those who anger us and hurt us. Why? Because God is going to have the last word, and he's going to right every wrong. So rather than spitefully hitting back at those who abuse us or disrespect us, wound our feelings in some way, we can be patient because the Lord is coming soon. And really, when you think about the fact that the Lord Jesus is returning soon, and all that that means for those who hurt us, abuse us, disrespect us, we ought to be praying for them, aren't we? Rather than hitting back, we ought to be praying for them. The farmer patiently waits for the rain, which will bring the valuable harvest. And you and I must stand firm and wait patiently for the final harvest, the great harvest of the ages, the harvest of souls. We don't always wait patiently, though, do we? Instead of putting our anger and frustration with difficult people in the Lord's hands, what do we do? Verse 9. We grumble against each other, don't we? We grumble, we complain, we gossip, and we backbite. It's pathetic. And there's a warning here, though. He says, the judge is standing at the door. The judge is standing at the door. Who is the judge? The Lord Jesus. He is the judge who's standing at the door. Has anyone here ever been outside of a room and the door is closed? In the next room there are people talking there. Is anyone here, well, maybe it's just me, okay. Anyone here ever stood outside that? You're right up by the, and you can hear what's being said in there because you're at the door. You're right outside the door and you hear everything that's being said there. And you know that in an instant, you open that door and there you are. Maybe there's someone, maybe they're talking about you and you hear every word and you know that in a second, you just open that door, boom, you are right there and you've heard it all. That's the picture here of the Lord Jesus and His return. And so far as how we act, how we talk to one another, how we treat one another, the judge is at the door. He hears every word. And that door is going to open in an instant when we least expect it. He's listening to everything we say to one another. And He's listening to everything we say about one another. Okay, who'd like to move on from here? Anyone? Show of hands. Huh? All right. Some examples of patience. Gives us examples, prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Prophets of the... Sometimes we have this idea that because we're believers in Jesus Christ that somehow we should be exempt from hard times or from suffering. But yet when we look at the Scriptures, do we have any reason to believe from the Scriptures that because we're believers in Jesus we're going to be spared difficulty, abuse, persecution? In fact, no. Jesus said what? They persecuted me? They're going to persecute you. None of us are exempt from it. And he says, look at the prophets, the examples of the prophets. They endured much abuse and much suffering. Hebrews 11 gives an extensive list of those who persevered through hardship and suffering. And Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Job then too. He cites Job. Job endured and he persevered through tremendous suffering. You know, I've known some folks here that, boy, I see what they're going through. And I tell you, you know, their lives and what they're dealing with, what some of you have dealt with or dealing with now. You're not that far removed from Job, it seems. Probably some of you have felt that. But Jesus says, take heart, be strengthened, be encouraged, be patient, because the Lord is coming soon. Job remained true to God in spite of horrific circumstances and a bunch of friends who were of no help to him at all. But in the end, the Lord was faithful to him. And in the same way, God will prove himself faithful to you as you patiently put up with difficult people and endure through painful circumstances. Only the evidence of patience. How do we know if we're being patient? Well, one particular way that this patience can be seen is in how we talk then. Rather than grumbling and complaining and backbiting and gossiping, we speak truth. We're honest with one another. Rather than moaning, grumbling, complaining, we speak truth. Above all, my brothers, verse 12, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. It's talking about honesty. We don't need to take oaths. We don't need to make flippant oaths and swear by heaven or whatever. That this simply speak the truth. And we know that what? We're to speak the truth in love, but speak the truth. That verse sounds a lot like what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, doesn't it? Wonder why. What was Jesus' relationship to James, who's writing this? It's his half-brother, wasn't he? There's an awful lot of the words and the thoughts of Jesus in this book. So don't make flippant oaths. Don't grumble and complain. Simply speak truth. It's what we're told to do. I wonder, do you live in the light of the Lord's imminent return? What is His imminent return? It means it could happen any time. It could happen today or tomorrow, a year from now. Who knows? We don't know when, but it could happen any time, perhaps today. And God will judge. And the fact is, too, that if the Lord doesn't return today, none of us know how much time we have in this life, do we? The Lord may not return today, but you may be called home today. In light of the truth that God is going to come and He is going to set everything right, be patient with difficult people and trying circumstances. He's going to have the final word. And by the way, it's not just the final word about those people over there. It's the final word for each one of us, isn't it? So we all need to live in the light of that truth. There's one easier asked than done. Are you patient with others? Is there someone difficult in your life that you have to endure through? And I know there's at least one of you out there because I heard that just a moment ago. All of us have difficult people in our lives, don't we? If they're not believers in Jesus, well, actually, even if they are, are you praying for them? Especially if they're not believers in Jesus, praying for them. And if they are a believer still, are you praying for them? Are we grumbling and complaining? And then is your word trustworthy? Is your yes, yes? Is your no, no? Are you a person who speaks the truth? Speaks the truth in love. The maturing Christian will patiently endure difficulty by living in the light of Christ's soon return. Let's pray. Father, your word is very, very clearly told us that the Lord Jesus is returning, that He is coming soon, that and on that day that everyone will see Him and everyone will acknowledge that every knee will bow before Him and every one of us will give an account. That there will be a great judgment that awaits each one, for believers at the judgment seat of Christ, for the others at that great white throne. But every one of us will give an account and you are going to right every wrong. Final justice will be remedied for all. But Father, how good it is for us to know as believers in Jesus Christ that we have forgiveness, that we are shielded from condemnation through faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, there are hurting hearts here among us. Every single one of us faces trying circumstances, difficult people in our lives. Father, give us the grace to turn away from that, from complaining and bitterness, instead to embrace the truth that Jesus is coming soon, that He will set everything right. And Father, give us the grace then to pray for one. As Jesus said, pray for those who abuse you, for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. May we pray for them, Lord, rather than complain. Thank you, Lord, for this truth that Jesus is coming, that in an instant we will all be changed. May we live in light of that truth today and each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.